Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vanderkoot. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning.
A couple of conversations this morning about South Pacific Islands, yeah?
Right, for very, very different reasons.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with this first one. Now, if you mention the South China Sea, you might think international politics. But today, University of Hawaii researchers want you to think coral reefs. A paper published in the open access journal PLOS Biology documents reef dredging and land creation in the South China Sea to the detriment of coral reefs. The authors of the paper used remote sensing data from the Landsat 8 operational land imager to look at the destruction and land reclamation of seven atolls in the Spratly Islands. Professor Camila Mora, lead author of the paper, joins us now in our studio. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Every time we sort of hear South China Sea, there seems to be this knee-jerk reaction to jump to politics. You're really asking us to look at this from a very different perspective in terms of what we may be losing ecologically. What specifically do you see incredibly threatened?
Well, unfortunately, I think that those atolls are there are seven atolls there that right now are completely gone. There's just no way, given our biological understanding of the systems, that they will ever recover. The reason for that is that this activity of dredging is killing the corals directly and putting them on top of the islands to fill up the islands. Unfortunately, that generates a lot of sediments that prevents the corals coming back. So we have very good experiences from the past suggesting that it will take hundreds of years for these coral reefs to recover. Unfortunately, once you bring ecology into the equation, you realize that what they are doing, the Chinese there, is not really smart at all. Because what they are doing there is by killing the corals. The corals are the things that are keeping alive, afloat, those islands. So as you kill the corals, those islands are going to be sinking, meaning that now for those islands to keep afloat, the Chinese had to start dumping more sand on top of those islands. So this is going to be a process that is going to be very expensive, and unfortunately, it's just going to cause the destruction of those coral reefs. For me, that's very worrisome because right now we have many islands just like this in which many countries are claiming ownership over those islands. And the only way that they can claim ownership over the islands is by going and filling them up to build up buildings there. So it could generate a race to the destruction of these ecosystems. And today, in this time and age, it's just heartbreaking to see how is it that humanity is allowing the destruction of these ecosystems when you can actually see this from space now. This is not like climate change that you can make your mind because you don't see it. But here, we are actually seeing this stuff from satellite images.
When you look at this, what kind of analogy would you make to lay people who might say, okay, so you're dredging an island and you may kill some corals. It's out in the middle of nowhere. Why should they care?
So the analogy that I make, this is like a jewel, a diamond, the most expensive diamond that you can think of, put it on a bench and hammer it with a hammer, smash it with a hammer. That's the analogy that I make here because these coral reefs, they are jewels in themselves in the sense that they are very unique. It had taken millions of years of evolution for those coral reefs to get there. Now that they have been destroyed, they can never be restored, right? So this is the analogy with the diamond. Is once you crack the diamond, there is just no way you can put it back together. So something that was very unique has been forever destroy.
That's a pretty intense analogy and hits home for people, I'm sure, in many ways to think about not being able to put Humpty Dumpty back together again or a jewel or anything that is precious. As you say that it's been so destroyed, what impetus then would there be to stop the race of all these countries who want to claim it from, you know, Taiwan on down, the Philippines, etc., to be able to safeguard the rest of them?
Well, I think that we're in a very good situation right now if we act right now. Again, once those atolls get destroyed, there is just nothing we can do there. But today we have many more atolls that can be saved from this pathway. And I think that we had a very good opportunity today. Fortunately for us, many of those atolls are within the areas of ownership of many countries. So that's the reason why there are disputes, is because many countries can claim ownership over those places. So right now, those places legally don't belong to anybody. So I think that we can potentially use the same argument is this doesn't belong to anybody, so it's going to belong to everybody. And the way to do that is to set up a protected area on the whole place. This is going to belong to the humanity. This is like putting that jewel that we're talking about in a museum for future generations to enjoy. So we had a very good precedent that this is possible of doing, setting up a huge protected area there. And the precedent that we had is Antarctica. Back in the day, Antarctica was used to be claimed by many countries. The international community came together and they say, no, we are not going to race to colonize that place. What we are going to do is to protect this. And now Antarctica is a multinational protected area that belongs to humanity. We can potentially do the same thing there and prevent all of those jewels of being destroyed.
How do you expect the international community to rally around and do that differently when you're coming up against China?
Well, to be honest with you, I think that China needs to put China. There is not a planet called China. There is not a planet called United States. There is a planet called Earth. This belongs to everybody. So the Chinese destroying this stuff is destroying something that belongs to them as well. So I think that once we come with common sense, I'm hoping that common sense will prevail on this kind of stuff. And to be honest with you, I think the problem so far has been that we have been focusing too much on the politics. And unfortunately, politics is about showing who is the strongest, who has the biggest army. But once you realize that these are very fragile ecosystems, I'm hoping that it will appeal to the sensitivity of people that this is not the right thing to do.
Within the community of scientists in which you interact, what kind of movements are you seeing to have that kind of general and international movement?
No, unfortunately, that's kind of the thing that is the saddest. Is that a scientist? Sorry to my colleagues, but we are very afraid people. You know, we don't like to engage on controversial situations, which is an unfortunate thing for society overall because we are the ones studying this stuff, but we are afraid of stepping up to face the politicians and the criticism that comes from this stuff. Unfortunately, this is a good example of that. Right now, there are a lot of international initiatives on that area to protect all of those coral reefs. It's the most diverse place in the planet, all of that triangle there. And unfortunately, those spratly islands were removed from those conservation efforts just because they wanted to avoid the potential confrontation with China. And I have even contacted Chinese friends, colleagues of mine, to endorse this paper, you know, and they all say, no, I love my career too much to get into a situation with this. So I don't think we can expect much from the scientists, to be honest with you. There might be a few people in the scientific community that will be brave enough to engage in this debate, but I don't think we can expect that. I think that what we need to do is as a society to move forward.
That doesn't sound terribly hopeful, but perhaps there will be others who will take up the cause. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Dr. Camilo Mora is an assistant professor at UH Manoa. He's the lead author of research projects on the magnitude and impacts of climate change on people and species. He's also a reviewer for publications including Science, National Geographic, and Nature Climate Change. The paper on the dredging of the South China Sea is out today in the journal PLOS Biology. ¶¶